The title of the message from Philippians 3, 7 through 14, How to Have a Happy New Year. I like this time of the year, after Christmas, because we are bringing to an end an old year. We look back upon 2018, and I'm sure if you are like me, that you can look back and you can see some wonderful blessings that God has given you. And you also remember some challenges that God has given you. Now, something we forget is that even the challenges God gives you, God means those things for our benefit and for our good. It is our response to those challenges, it is our response to those challenges that determine whether they are blessings or whether they are defeats. So it's time to ring out the old year. I'm not spelling that R-I-N-G. I am spelling that W-R-I-N-G. Within the next 48 hours, we have before us 2018. And if the Lord should tarry His coming, He is giving us a year of opportunities and challenges. What will we do with it? Over the next 48 hours, probably everyone or most everyone you meet will say to you, Happy New Year. Now, it's with most of them, it's just something we say. But I believe that God wants us, His children, to have a happy and prosperous new year. How are we going to face this new year? Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "Don't be pushed by your problems, but be led by your dreams." Now, I had issues with some of the things Ralph Waldo Emerson believed, but I think he nailed it here. Don't be pushed by your problems, be led by your dreams. Most of you will not know the name Nia Vardalos. Does anybody know who she is? Huh? Are you speaking personally or are you talking about Nia? Nia Vardalos wrote and starred in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Actually, a great movie. If you've not seen it, you should. This is what she said. My New Year's resolution list usually starts with the desire to lose between 10 and 3,000 pounds. Do you know, except for skinny people, who I don't trust, except for skinny people, this is the number one resolution made by people in America, to lose weight. I saw this on a Facebook quote of a friend of mine. He said, the year went by so fast that I didn't have time to read my 52 books or lose 10 pounds. It was the year's fault. I want to share with you seven things that I think, if we do, will result in a better new year for all of us. These are not profound. In fact, you've probably heard some of them before. But here's number one. Be sure of your salvation. Why should we go into a new year not having confidence in our spiritual lives? The Bible says, give diligence to your calling and election. I want to read to you 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given unto us. This may be 1 Peter. Maybe somebody can help me real quick. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the bottom line of this passage here? God has provided for us salvation and confidence in salvation. If we follow these things, we're not going to stumble. In fact, I think it would be fair to say that if we follow the things that God has given us, the knowledge that God has given us, the salvation that he provides for us, I think it is sufficient also to say that we will have a better life. Now, understand, and this is where some folks really go haywire with Christianity. Being a Christian does not guarantee you a trouble-free life. Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be challenges. We don't really belong here. You understand that? I can't remember the name of the fellow who wrote these words. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's the proper attitude of a Christian. One of the problems we have with our Christianity in America is we have set our roots too deep in this old world. And the things of this world mean more to us than the things of heaven. What did Jesus say? He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because in heaven a thief can't steal it, a moth can't eat it, and rust cannot corrupt it. And then he said this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And possibly, Jesus looks at us today and he says, where is your heart? Is it with the things of the world? Or is it with the things that will never pass away? One of the problems we have is Christians want their rewards now. And not when we are home. Because we're not home. We should not feel at home in this world. And as I look more and more at what's going on in our country, we should feel less and less at home. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus speaking as he is finishing his Sermon on the Mount said this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The people Jesus is speaking of here are not what we would term as evil people. They are religious people. But they are religious people who have based their relationship on God by what they do and not with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is it wrong to do the things mentioned here? No, but those things will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. There is a danger of being religious but lost. The company of which Jesus spoke based their hope for eternity on what they did and not in whom they were related to, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by doing religious stuff. When will we ever learn that? It's not the religious stuff we do. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit reaches down into us and He remakes us completely. The old things, the old attitudes, they're passed away. Our attitudes are different toward the things of the world and toward the things of God. In Bob's Sunday school class today, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but he said something to the effect, I think you said, are you excited about your faith? Is that what you said, Bob? You see, I was listening. For 2 seconds, I was listening. Are you excited about your faith? Now, here's the thing. We know the right answer, right? If you're a Christian, you're going to say, well, sure I am. But are you excited about it? Now, if you're excited about it, I think that there ought to be some energy to it. I walk down at Park Lake twice a day, every day, because my dog has to go to the bathroom every day. That's why I'm down there. It's not that I'm really motivated to get into shape. It's that he needs to be there. And during the World Series, there are two men that walk down there about the same time I do every day, and we'll usually exchange pleasantries. And during the series, or during the early part of the series, because the Yankees didn't really see the series, during the early part, I've got my Yankees hat on, and he's got his Boston Red Sox hat on. And every time we pass that day, or during that time, during I don't know how long did they last, 4 or 5 days. During that time they lasted, we would trash talk each other. The day after they lost, I avoided him. That's all there is to it. If and some of you are not sports enthusiasts. But there's something else that really gets you going. Are you as excited about your faith in Christ as you are about your sports teams or about your hobbies? Because there was no problem with he and I trash talking each other every morning. And I'm excellent at trash talking when I want to be. I want you to know. But that last day, I was extremely humble. And I'll never forgive them for that. If there is an energy to our faith, people don't have to wonder if you're a Christian. They'll just know. I look at the church, I think it's in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, where it says, and daily in the temple they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. That's an excitement about their faith. That's an energy in their faith. If you really know Jesus as Savior, you ought to be excited about your faith. Listen to this. John 14:6, you know it. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one object, there is one person that has made a difference in your eternity. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He loves you more than anyone in your family loves you. No one in your family has laid down their life for you, but He did. And we ought to be excited about telling if we are saved. If we are saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that, and I love this verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you have the confidence in your salvation? Do you know that if death should take you unexpectedly, that heaven is your next stop? If you are saved, you know it. If you do not know it, you're probably not saved. Are you saved? Is that settled? Could you tell us your story this morning on how you got saved? Number two, confess all you know to be sin. 1 John 1, 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know who John was writing to? Do you know? Huh? Christians! He was writing to born-again believers. And he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I've got some friends who are Nazarenes. Nazarene doctrine says that you can, in this life, attain perfection. Really? That's what they think. Well, the problem is apparently they've never read this verse. Or they don't understand it. You see, here's the deal. After we get saved, our sins are forgiven, but we are still sinners, and we are in a struggle. We are in a battle for our spiritual lives. Now, he goes on in the next verse, and he says this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And someone says, well, wait a minute. I thought when I got saved, my sins were forgiven. Yes, as far as the punishment for sin is concerned, the slate is clean. But here's the problem. It would be a wonderful thing if at the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, it would be, we're out of here. And we could stand in the presence of Almighty God, clean, completely clean, and at that point in time, sinless. But we live here, right? And by the way, most of us are human. Now, I make allowances for some that I've met that I've just not been quite sure. Most of us are human. So that means all of us who are human still have a sin nature in that, and we can be drawn aside and even sin, not even knowing it. If you never drive Interstate 80, you have a better chance of not sinning. Do you know what a malediction is? You know what a benediction is? Benediction is a blessing. A malediction is a curse. That guy cuts you off in traffic, all of a sudden, you have maledicted him. You have wished something on him that shouldn't be wished on anybody. And then you realize, and this is something I've noticed, that most of the people who pass me, who speed past me, are young women. Am I right or not? Huh? And I'm a gentleman. So when I realize that it is a woman who I've maledicted, I don't take it back at all. My point is that I can sin and not even plan to do it. So, the Lord provided this for us. If we confess our sin, which we will have them to confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please understand, this verse has nothing to do with eternal damnation or losing salvation or punishment for sin. It has to do with keeping us clean before the Father so we can continue to fellowship with him. Amen. You see, once you get saved, here's a wonderful truth. Everybody in here ought to shout glory hallelujah, but I know you won't, okay? Cheryl will, but most of the rest of you. But here's something you ought to shout glory hallelujah to. that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are eternally saved. You are God's family. You belong to Him. There is nothing, 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 nothing that can alienate you from God's family. But it can disturb your fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Now, here's the importance of that. In John chapter 15, and I don't have this in my notes, so I'm going to have to kind of wing it. But in John chapter 15, it says that He is the vine and we are the branch. And without Him, we can do nothing. And then it says also that if we abide in Him. Do you know what abide means? Huh? You stay in a close relationship with Him. Now, how long have you been, you and Evan here, been married?
2 years. 2 years.
2 years? Do you feel that you are abiding together?
Yes.
You're abiding together. That means you are in a constant relationship with each other, right? Is that relationship growing?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me the things you have problems with Rachel. I wouldn't do that. Because Rachel's perfect, right?
Oh, of course.
Of course. There it goes. All right. But you're in a relationship, so that relationship grows. Do you know how you grow in your relationship with God? You abide in Him. Do you know what affects negatively that relationship to abide together with God? No, I'm not talking about you. We've moved on. Okay. It's sin. When we fall back into the old sin nature, we stop growing in our relationship with God. But God has made provision. If we confess our sin. Now let me stop for just a moment. Do you want to be in a growing relationship with God? Here's the problem. If you don't have any excitement about your faith, you don't care. But if you care, here's how you can have a better relationship, a growing relationship with God in 2019. You abide with Him. How do you abide with God? You read your Bible every day. You pray every day. You witness, share Jesus. Have you ever told any of your friends how wonderful Rachel is?
Yes.
You better say yes. You better say yes. Okay. Why? Because you love her, right? If you love God, shouldn't you be telling other people about Him? Abiding in Christ. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So here's what you do. First of all, you make sure that your relationship with Christ is true. Then you make a practice of staying clean before the Father by confessing your sin. God wants His children to be clean. You may not be involved in heinous sin, but there may be some corners of your life that is cluttered with things that hinder your relationship with God. Number three, make good use of your time. We waste a lot of time. The world knows something about time that we don't realize. What do they say about time? Time is money, right? Time is money. Don't waste time. Here's what God says. Psalm 90, verses 9, 10, and 12. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Do you know what that means? That means it's not very long. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 and 10, and I'm bearing down on that. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Listen to this, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We do not know how much time we have. Your life is like a vapor, James said. It appears for a brief moment and then it's gone. It's gone. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Once time is spent, it cannot be retrieved. None of us knows how much or how little time we may have left. We should spend our time wisely and invest in it in things that matter for eternity and not in the things that will pass away sooner than we think. Number four, think positively. Do you know what fundamentalists did for many years? We made fun of those who profess the power of positive thinking. Names like Norman Vincent Peale. Now, Norman Vincent Peale's doctrine was out to lunch. It wasn't biblical. But what he said about positive thinking was true. Listen to this, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. You are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Confession time. This is a problem with me. I need to be more of a positive thinker. I can be distracted to the negative if I'm not careful. How about you? Are you a positive thinker? Or are you a negative thinker? Why should Christians be positive thinkers? Because we win. See, that's the problem. Some of you don't know that or don't believe that. We win. I don't really care anymore. And this is a freedom that God, I think, has given me, is that I am free from Fox News. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying they had a way of inciting me. You know, now the rest of them, please understand, I'm not commending the rest of them. But you know, sometimes you can get upset about temporary things and you lose the joy of your eternity. This world is not our home. I'm repeating myself, but it's not. It's going to pass away. It's not going to last. Neither is anyone that place their faith in temporary things. Our faith is in the eternal one who made everything and who remade us at the cross. If you keep your mind on those things, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, if there's virtue, think on those things. Think on those things. It will make you a positive person. Number five, set spiritual goals. I don't make resolutions. I think it's silly to make resolutions because we don't keep resolutions. Do you understand what a resolution is? A resolution says, I will do this. It is resolved. I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year. And I did lose 30 pounds, but I gained 40. You make a resolution, you are setting yourself up for failure. But you do need to set some goals. Philippians 3:13. Paul did this. Brethren, I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Goodbye, 2018. Amen. I can't do anything about 2018. It's history. I can't change it. There are some things I wish I could. Really, I wish I could. But you know, for me to sit around and say, man, I wish I could change that, I'm wasting time. I'm not appropriating my time wisely because I can't do anything about it. It's gone. Now, there is something I can do about it. Don't do it again. Don't make the same mistake again. Learn from your mistakes. In 2018, my dog got sprayed by a skunk twice. Apparently, he did not learn from his mistake. Of course, Charlie thinks the park is new every day. I don't think I've been here before. This is wonderful. Learn from your mistakes, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. A great journey is made with many small steps. You cannot take a second step until you plan the first. Set some goal for your spiritual life in 2019. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you four things. Number one, make your goals realistic. Number two, make them specific. Number three, pray about your goals. Number four, work toward your goal until it is reality. Has anybody made a goal for 2019? Anybody? You bunch of cowards. I know you have. I'm just going to call on you. Have you made a goal for 2019? None. Thanks for listening to my sermon. Has anybody made a goal? Oh, well, you're dismissed. No, I'm teasing. What's your goal? You're going to exercise more. Yeah, you're not skinny enough. Anybody else? A goal? What's a goal?
Record all that I'm going to be teaching the next year. Record it as a new writing.
All right. You may use that again. I think every sermon I've ever preached, I've got written out somehow. Yeah, I think I have because it makes great resources for other sermons. I don't have to study the same thing four times. Somebody, come on. Chris, what's a goal? Okay, good goal, Chris. Good goal. That's a great goal. How about you, Haley? Have you made a goal for 2019?
Not yet.
You don't have much time. You got 48 hours. That's it. I'll call you later, okay? You make the goal. Good night. You all needed this sermon. There's no doubt about it. How about you, Sergio? You got a goal?
Yes, I'm going to eat more garlic.
Gonna eat more garlic. Well, that kind of throws out what I'm gonna do because here's what I said. Here's some possible goals, prayer goals, not garlic goals, prayer goals, goals concerning the study of Scripture. Do you want to grow or not? If you don't, fine. Stay away from the Bible because if you read it, you will grow. Witnessing. Is there anybody you know that's on their way to hell that maybe you'd like to make a difference in their life? Stewardship. To give more. Because God gave everything. Set some spiritual goals. I'm not kidding. You know what? I have never hit a goal that I did not make. Number five. No, I'm sorry. We're on six, aren't we? Leave the past in the past. Verse 13 says, forgetting the things that are behind. This is not original with me. I'm sure you've heard it. I think it came from Kung Fu Panda. The past is history. The future is mystery. Today is opportunity. That's why we call it the present. Leave both your victories and your defeats behind and press into the new year with confidence. Number seven. Get going for God. I press toward the mark. I've set a goal. I'm pressing toward the mark. Jonathan Edwards made two resolutions. Resolution number one, I will live for God. Resolution number two, if no one else does, I still will. The battle Not over until we reach home. And by the way, there's one thing I will guarantee you about 2019. It will be a battle. It's just a fact. And you can do it alone. And probably you will have more challenges than you have victories. Or you can do it God's way. And when 2020 comes around, if the Lord tarries his coming, you will be amazed how much better life you have had in 2019.